I think he played Bond music.
Welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders, episode 387. I am your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself, the Mug.
Fear the old blood.
Yeah, fear the old blood, huh? There you go. How you guys doing this week? We'll start with you, Break. How you doing, man?
I want to know more about this old blood. What happened here?
I'll get to that.
Yeah, I think he's going to get to that.
It's that game's version of Praise the Sun.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a good game. And you're going to get into it, Mug, later. So I can't wait to hear about that. What about you, Break? How was your week?
You know, busy.
Busy? Anything special happen?
No, just busy.
He lost his cherry.
Finally?
No, not yet.
But he picked it up off the floor, put it back in on Sunday.
After all of these years
I can't do that. That's I don't believe in a 5-second rule.
There's no such thing.
Plus it's also not true. He still has his cherry.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah, exactly. So what about you, Eric? How about your week, man?
I'm getting over my cold.
I heard that.
Mostly over it, though.
That's good, man.
Yeah, you don't sound bad.
I didn't write anything all week and just decided to dedicate myself to finishing a visual novel, which I did today.
Well, there you go. That's good. Mug, your week.
Hanging in there. I'm mostly recovered from my from surgery. I've got my follow-up on Monday, and I don't know how long it's going to be before I can get these stitches out.
Ooh, still stitching, huh? Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's about an inch and a quarter incision down the center of my scrotum, so yeah.
Yeah. That does not sound pleasant at all.
Not nearly as bad as recovering from the nightmare that was the vasectomy itself, but yeah. that was my situation.
I've heard a lot of good things about that, but then when I hear like these one-off stories like you were talking about, then it makes me cringe. It looks like Wyland is the first to join chat. What's up, Wyland? I haven't seen you in a bit.
You're late.
Welcome back to the fold, Wyland.
Or he's really early.
Yeah, that's true. He's really early for next week's show.
I had an interesting week, fellas. I started my new job, which is pretty cool. It's a lot different, but I could see myself fitting in just fine. They do things a lot different at this place, which is mostly a good thing. So I'm looking forward to that.
So they give you more money for the hand jobs and blowjobs you get?
Exactly, man.
Solve crimes.
The glory hole is much cleaner than this.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to clean
up. Crimes in a van called the Mystery Shack.
Exactly. Yeah, Eric. You guys are all right. The glory hole. I don't have to clean the glory holes, which is nice.
That's a bonus.
Still has to staff it though.
I do have to staff it. That's there you go. But no, it's a nice place to work. So I'm excited for that.
Joined us. Just FYI.
What's that?
Dungeon Buster joined us.
Dungeon Buster's in chat. What's up? Wyland says, early mornings at work mean heading to bed earlier. Ah, I see. Yeah. No excuses, Wyland. Excuses are for losers, man. But anyways, yeah, it's been an interesting week. You guys are going to probably be floored when I get to my suite of the week involving a police officer. So that's going to be like a first time ever occurrence on RP Grinders.
You backing a Kickstarter about trains.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I mean, it trust me, I resisted, but you know,
Frank's
secret
favorite game is a train.
Yeah.
Or some train simulator.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's get Let's get started with
the he tried to watch some porn once because it said running a train and he was very, very disappointed. not what he
wanted. Oh, you're exiled, Breakman. You get the honor of being the first exile of the day, Breakman. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get started with the news, Eric.
From Gematsu, we've got Exist Archives coming to North America on October 18th. Axis Games is localizing Trieste-developed side view RPG. And it says, be both physical and digital release and feature both Japanese and English voice options. And I got the impression, though, the game's not very big, so that probably wasn't difficult for them.
All right.
The soundtrack to the game itself is not very large. It's like 12 tracks.
Yeah.
So they reuse a lot of tracks, I guess, in the game. But maybe it has replayability, like different endings or something. Mm-hmm. But, anyways, the thing about this game is that it's kind of set up like Valkyrie Profile. It says, combat consists of a strategic combo system where player's attack corresponds to a button. Like I said, Valkyrie Profile. And executing bigger combos results in more damage still to opponents. Well, I guess there's a multiplayer. That's what they're implying.
And well, that's cool. Down for that. I have this problem of not having a PS4 or Vita.
This is a 3DS game.
Really? Oh, that's cool. Then I can get it. Sweet. Now the other problem I have is getting money. So,
oh, wait, no. I'm thinking of some other game.
I think you are, because it said PS4 and
PS Vita. It's still PS4 and Vita.
Yeah, PS4 and Vita, man. All right, let's move on to the next story, Break.
Okay, coming to us live from Gematsu. NIS America will no longer publish Atlas games in Europe.
Whoa.
That's not good news. What the hell happened? NIS America, blah, 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 is the first sentence. Why are you guys turning into that other website that I don't want to mention?
Right.
Speaking to MCV, NIS America MD Takaro Yamashita said it has become increasingly difficult to work with Atlas since it was purchased by Sega. Ooh, yeah, that's what we were talking about last week, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
About the difficulty they're having.
It's just that their communication's shitty.
Well, that's difficult to work with.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's Sega's problem and not anything else.
Yeah, somebody's music is playing in the background. Maybe it's mine. I don't know. But yeah, that's sad to hear. Like, this is the first time I've ever heard of anybody having a problem with Atlas since Sega bought Atlas. So that's disappointing. I don't know. But continue on, Break.
Well, it didn't help that Atlas never had a European presence to begin with. Mm. If they could, then they wouldn't even need NIS.
All right, Break.
Oh my God, that ad's finally done. But, what the fuck?
I just want to comment on this a little bit more, but I'm worried about NISA's bottom line now because where are they going to make up the lost revenue?
Yeah, it's certainly not going to be that big. I mean,
they have turned to PC porting, but considering how badly they did in this Gaia, they had to delay the Steam release of Hotel Neek Firefly Diary because it's apparently having issues too. So until they get that nailed down, it's going to be a problem for them.
NIS may have some aces up its sleeves, though. I'm not putting it.
I mean, they can always find some other publisher, and they probably will. Mm. Like maybe they could publish Chemco games for a while.
Read the next paragraph. And
do localizations for those games.
Let me see here. Around 10 days ago, we terminated our alliance with Atlas in Europe and the U.S., Yamashita told MCV. Atlas became very picky about selecting the European publishing partner after it was bought by Sega. It always cherry-picked its European publishing partner based on who offered the highest minimum guarantee on a title-by-title basis. I heard an ad again.
I know. It was a stupid rollover.
That's weird.
God, yeah. Fucking... Oh. I know.
Okay, turn off anyway. The volume.
These ads are hurting my feelings. Oh, wait, I don't have any. Never mind. I noticed that it was very difficult for NIS America to establish an equal partnership with Atlas. Atlas and its European games have contributed a lot to the expansion of NIS America and Europe. I would like to express my greatest appreciation to them for that. In addition to not publishing Atlas titles in Europe, titles from NIS America will also not be distributed by Atlas in the Americas.
Yes, because NIS actually did a couple special editions at some points in their career, but they haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, so it sounds like they're not happy with Sega, so that's it.
Yeah, it sounds like – basically the takeaway from this is that gamers lose out.
Yes, yes.
I don't know about that, man. Like, they're not going to have –
aren't going to come to America now? Yes, how do we not lose out?
No, Atlas is not going to have any problems getting this game.
NISA has always done their own thing here, so they don't need Atlas.
Yeah, I mean, like, European gamers lose out unless they can find another publishing partner.
I'm not thinking that's going to be a hard sell to most companies to bring Atlas games to whatever region. I don't think it's going to be that big of a sell. But Sega could find themselves in an unenviable position of getting a bad rep and, you know, therefore.
Well, I think the issue that is possible is that, you know, establishing a new deal may take a while. And in the meantime, any games that come out may wind up not coming out there.
Or either come in way later, you know, like a year or two later, which, I mean, that kind of seems to be the case with most games coming to the U.S. that way. Like, it seems like it takes a while for shit to get here. I don't think it's a huge loss.
It took forever for Shin Megami Tensei 4 to get to Europe.
Yeah. I don't think it's a big loss. Like, NAS is going to be fine, and so is Atlas. It's just – it's a Sega thing, and it has to be a Sega thing because this type of problem never, never happened when Atlas was by itself. They, you know, they did things usually right, but, you know, Sega, they always find a way to screw up something. All right, Mug.
Yeah, and I don't expect Sega of Europe to pick up Atlas's slack.
Yeah. All right, Mug, let's get – you know,
all right, coming to us live from Gematsu. The demo for The Legend of Heroes, Trails in the Sky, the Third Evolution, is now available via the PlayStation Store in Japan. The 1.2 gig demo lets you play the RPG from the prologue up until its first chapter. And it is for those who don't know, the Evolution titles are the relicensed beta ports of the Trails in the Sky series that are never, ever, ever coming to the U.S., so stop asking.
What is the reason behind that? Like, just
Licensing. Yeah, it's licensing. It's like Kadokawa Games are the ones who licensed the Vita ports and stumped up the money to get all the voice acting and everything. Yeah. And it would require a separate licensing agreement with them in addition to Falcom, and apparently it would be just – it's prohibitively expensive.
Ah, damn it. That shit sucks, man. Like, I wish these guys could all come to an agreement and all make a little bit of money instead of a shit ton of money.
While we're on the subject of the third, the third version is only coming at the Steam here, the original PC release. Well, it's going to be retweaked so that it actually exists on the Steam platform because there isn't currently one, and I don't even think there was originally a PC release for that game. But it's going to probably use
the third. I'm pretty certain that the third did have a PC release.
It did?
I believe so.
Well, I know that.
I think the first one, the first Trails game
did,
that was,
but they got a Japanese release, but that's not made by Falcom.
Yeah, Aono Kiseki and Zero no Kiseki were the first ones that were, you know, non-PSP, or rather non-PC in the Trails series.
And then they, but,
PSP only.
But, as far as third goes, if you don't have a PC, I guess your only hope is to wait for some group to somehow transplant the Steam version script into the PSP version somewhere.
Yeah, that's chance of that happening.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, I'm pretty certain, like, XE would be like, sure, let's do the PSP version, but Falcom at this point is likely going to say, you know, would just be like, no, we're done with PSP.
So, because yeah,
Falcom has to do all the coding. Remember, XE doesn't do any of the PSP coding. Falcom does it.
That's the grunt work, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, and they, you know, and they have their own. You know, Falcom's a small company too, and they have their own, you know, new games that they want to work on current platforms.
And I don't, so. I don't blame them for wanting to do newer shit instead of just rehashing old shit. You know.
Yeah.
So maybe this won't be rehashed, guys. This comes to us from Gamatsu. Koime Enbu coming west for PC via Steam in May.
Koihime.
All right. Whatever Eric said. it's launched for the PS4 and the PS3 in Japan.
Princess Dance.
On January 28th, it's coming west for the PC via Steam in May. Publisher Degeka Games announced. The Unknown Games developed fighting game is a reimagining of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms based on the Koihime Musou visual novel and features largely female characters.
Yeah, they just took all the male characters and made them female.
At least they didn't say features large females character. That would have been inappropriate. There are a total of 13 fighters and 7 assist characters and a number of different moves and systems. And then it goes on to the features. Play as 13 different characters and 7 assist characters to create a huge variety of strategies. Old school footsies, whatever that is.
It's a fighting game term. It's basically about like moving back and forth, getting placement just right so you can attack without sacrificing vulnerability, that kind of thing.
So this has nothing to do with playing with each other's feet.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with that. There's a trailer for it on Steam I'm looking at. It actually looks pretty slick.
I was looking at screenshots. I didn't look too bad.
It's the animation is really smooth and it looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
It looks like the modern 2D fighter.
Yeah. Explore the Fatal Counter system, which gives moves different properties that make comboing easier and longer. Utilize the Tactics Meter with special moves, EX special moves, super moves, and ultimate moves. That type of shit. Like, I remember games like Killer Instinct where you had to hit a series of buttons, like, in rapid succession. I could never get.
Yeah, that's what they call dial a combo. It looks like from what I'm seeing here, it looks like it's anime style cel shaded.
Yeah.
Except it's fought on a 2D plane, and it actually looks in motion. It looks really nice.
I'll have to look at the trailer. I like watching fighting games for sure. I don't mind watching people play fighting games.
Maybe it's done like the Guilty Gear Xrd.
Nah, I don't know because it's a doujin game, so it's probably not that great.
Yeah.
It's probably competent. It's just I don't think it's on that level.
I'm still waiting to see video of Brake and Wyland on Killer Instinct. That would be pretty amazing to watch.
I just meant the visual style. It's but like in looking at like the stances, it's not like so super smooth. You see like say the Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm games where like it's really really smooth, but like it looks a little bit more like Guilty Gear Xrd and how the because the animation is like. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I'm not seeing anything where they do the thing where they kind of like in Xrd where they that match ends and suddenly they spin around and show like, oh wow, these are 3D models. But I don't know.
I'm looking at Wyland's custom.
The Revelator comes out in like 2 months.
Looking at Wyland's custom controller for Killer Instinct and it looks pretty sweet. That's pretty badass. I can't play fighting games like that though. I tried playing on like an Xbox controller, fighting games like Street Fighter and shit, and the PlayStation controller. It just doesn't work. I need to get a really nice fighting stick in order to have any sort of shot at doing anything in those stupid games. But not too bad. Wyland looks pretty sweet, man. All right, Eric, let's move on to the next story, please.
Next story is, something that happened this week. But Xenoblade's on the eShop now.
Yay!
Yeah, for $20.
That's not bad.
That's not bad, considering what it costs for a physical copy these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to go to GameStop back when they were trying to... The copies were scarce. They were trying to scalp people for like $70.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it's a lot cheaper now, but yeah, it's still kind of expensive.
Well, so they weren't they like the only ones that had it for a long time.
Yeah, because it's the only place that they sold it in retail.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to go to a Nintendo store and buy it from them.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, there you
go.
That's
where I got my copy. I'm not going to GameStop.
I like when they do this. Like, that matters. Like, the people like myself that hate going into the Evil G, like, that's a good thing. Sure.
But it's also nice whenever, I mean, like, it's kind of the same thing that happened when they did the digital release of Final Fantasy Tactics, because a physical copy of that game will run you quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then or Suikoden 2, when they put out the digital version, you know, prices went.
Oh yeah.
Because
look,
we can play this game legitimately and not have to pay out the ass for it.
Exactly. Now there are still a few people out there that like the physical copies, but I think we're pretty much past that.
I sold my copy of Persona for like $75 or something like that right before they released it on digital.
Mm-hmm. That's good move, man. Now you could probably get a physical copy for super cheap and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, probably.
All right, let's move on to the next story break.
Let's see here. Coming to us live from Gamatsu again. Wow. First look at Final Fantasy XI reboot for mobile. In March 2015. What?
That's interesting. Looks good.
In March 2015, Squinix and Nexon announced a partnership to develop a high-quality mobile game based on Final Fantasy XI and released in 2016 at the Nexon Developers Conference. Nexon Korea shared a first look at the title, which is running on a mobile version of Unreal Engine 4. The mobile game promises to leverage Final Fantasy XI's compelling storyline, engaging content, and impressive graphics while optimizing features for smartphone and mobile devices to create an immersive, responsive, and dynamic experience for mobile users. These optimizations will include improving party organizing systems. Jesus Christ. Improving party organizing systems, enriching solo play functionality, improving battle functionality, and enhancing in-game events and features.
From the couple of little screenshots we have here, it looks real pretty. I mean,
Final Fantasy XII, where like Square's kind of golden age for graphics, where they had really mastered the PS2.
Yeah.
And like where that stuff is like, that looks way better than a game on PS2 should.
Oh, yeah.
And it still amazes me that we haven't gotten an HD remaster of Final Fantasy XII.
That it is crazy. Why haven't we got one? Maybe that's on the docket at some point. You know, they have a tendency to wait a long time before they wait till the fervor is like there, and then they, you know, do something like that.
I'd rather have an offline single player version of Final Fantasy XI that has all the story content on it.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says he still has his Black Label Tactics and Suikoden 2 copies. I think I do too, Dungeon Buster, if I'm not mistaken. I think I do too.
That's because you're both hoarders.
Yeah. I'm definitely a game hoarder. There's no question.
I'm just kidding.
That's true, man. I have a lot of games, a lot of old school games. The newer ones, I'm not caught up. I usually do that. Like, RPGs are kind of easy to, like, depending, like, which system to kind of get caught up.
Well, I mean, every gamer has bought at least one game they have never played.
Yeah.
Or played only a very small amount. Like, for mine, I think it's, like, Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Yeah.
It's not a bad game at all. It's just, for whatever reason, I just didn't play much of it.
Yeah.
It's just sitting on my shelf.
I think it's because
a couple of unopened PS2 games. Just, you know, I never had time to play them.
I think it's because Kurt Schilling's such a douche, so...
I'm saving all my games that I haven't played yet for retirement. Yeah. I've accepted it because I don't have time, and I don't know when I'll have time.
Dungeon Buster says, don't let them go. I definitely will not, Dungeon Buster. I hold on to my games. I don't know why.
I just got to make sure I have hardware to play those when the time comes.
Yeah, I've got almost every worthwhile PS2 RPG and...
I wish I hadn't traded in so many like old school Nintendo games, but back then I didn't really have any money, so it was, you know, what part-time job money I had plus the trade-ins to get new games for Nintendo.
A lot of people did that. I just saved my pennies and just saved them. I don't know.
That was basically how I got Neo Geo games. I was just like, you know, where most people be like, oh, I'll get a game this week and maybe in another one in a couple weeks. Like, I would just save them, you know, save up and... you know, for a couple of weeks, or rather a couple of months, and get the game that I wanted.
Yeah.
Because I would only get maybe two or three games a year.
Yeah.
And so it didn't really matter that they were a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, and a lot of times I would go to, like, flea markets and shit and find a lot of
games. You weren't finding Neo Geo games there.
You will. You can. I mean, not it's where weird, I lived.
Where I live, you can. Yeah, like Neo Geo carts, like maybe some of them, but you're not going to find any of the really worthwhile stuff for, you know, at a flea market.
You would be very, very surprised.
The flea market around here, like, they actually sell Neo Geo, TurboGrafx, and import games and shit.
I find a lot of shit.
That's where I got my TurboGrafx.
Every summer, I find at least one or two gems at the flea market for
I got that instead of the Neo Geo because the Neo Geo was like $500.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's move on, Mug. Next story.
All right. Nintendo does it again. The new Legend of Zelda will be coming to the NX and the Wii U simultaneously in 2017. Twilight Princess all over again.
And that'll be the launch day of the console.
Greg, why am I hearing random music? Jesus. Okay.
Because this game has a tentative release date of March 2017, which is also the same month the NX comes out.
Yeah. So basically, it's like, this is taking too long, so we're going to...
No, actually, I think they planned it from the beginning.
I think they did, too. I think it was a huge...
The funny thing is, like, this time, you know, we've only... You know, the Wii U has not gotten a Zelda game at all, you know, whereas the GameCube had...
I think they were just undecided whether or not they'd release the Wii U version first. Mm. And they decided, oh, fuck it. Screw it.
I wonder, do you guys... Is there any,
I just hope it's better than Skyward Sword.
Are you guys...
That was not a bad game.
No, it was very much a bad game.
No. Skyward Sword was
anybody who hates that game hates it because of the controls.
Yeah, I got That's used good to the controls.
Reason to hate a game.
I got used to the controls.
Yeah, and they're not always a problem for everybody. Nintendo should be blamed for not including all their control schemes.
You cannot count on the mechanics working 100% of the time. That is not okay.
Yeah.
If I press a button, I swing a sword. If I waggle the controller, I don't always swing the sword the way that I want it to. That's a problem.
Yeah, I never had that many issues.
That's why.
I never had that many issues.
That is a barrier. That is why motion controls suck.
Nah, I never had any big issues with that game at all. Like, they were pretty minor.
Yeah, I think just some people can't grasp their heads around it. And people like Jim Sterling and...
The problem is it's not fun. It is an extra barrier to like just interactivity. It's complicating something that doesn't need to be complicated.
That
was amazing.
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad, Mug. I think there was an element of that, but I think like what Eric is saying is right too. Like at first I had kind of the same problems, and I just learned to deal with it, and it was no big deal. Like
that's the problem. Like on previous games where it used a traditional control scheme, I didn't have to learn to deal with any aspect of the controls. They just worked.
I know. And I'm with you, Mug. I actually don't.
I think it's the same kind of barrier that my parents have towards video games that you have towards motion controls. Their brain just isn't wired
them.
For it.
That's the thing. It's like I get them, and when motion controls work, the problem is motion controls are by definition imprecise.
I know that because I've played some motion control games like Sonic and Mario at the Olympics, and that was awful.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like it's. You know, motion controls were great when a game was essentially designed to replicate an existing task, like the Wii Sports or like the Sports Champions or whatever it was in for the PlayStation Move. But when it's when you have an established series with an established gameplay style, and you basically slap it was essentially the same kind of thing that they've done with that Star Fox, that apparently abhorrent Star Fox Guard. Making things different for the sake of making things different is not a good thing.
Probably also the same thing. It's like you'll either love it or you'll hate it.
Innovation for innovation's sake.
Kid Icarus was like that too.
Yeah. Look, Nintendo's done it better than everybody, but there's a lot of work to be done. You know what I am interested in, and we should talk about it maybe next week, is virtual reality consoles, which are going to be the next kind of big...
I'm not interested until I have to wear one of those tight body suits that have those big balls on them.
That's for motion capture.
Yeah.
What you're talking about you're talking about like a haptic suit.
Yeah. All right. We're talking about
Nintendo. It's called? Wow. Yeah.
Speaking of Nintendo's new console, this comes to us from Gamatsu. Nintendo's new console, codenamed NX, will launch worldwide in March 2017. When are we going to get the real name of this console?
It's going to be called,
I don't know, because apparently not going to talk about it during E3.
That sucks. That's, yeah, but they'll probably do it at their Nintendo event, I'm
well,
guessing.
Well, they're only going to, from what I've heard, they're only going to talk about Zelda at E3. Hmm.
Nah, they're not going to talk about just
the only
Zelda.
Game that's coming out for
they're only going to talk about Zelda for the Wii U and the NX, and then they're going to be talking about 3DS otherwise, because there's nothing.
I have decided that until the console's name is officially announced, it will be dubbed the Wheezy.
The Wheezy. I like it. That's kind of got a good ring, man. That's good. I like that mug. Weiland says Star Fox Zero controls aren't the great Satan that the game journalist, quote, journalist, are making it out to be, especially since you can turn most of it off. So
yeah, you can turn the Star Fox controls off.
So you can also turn the game off.
Yeah, you can turn the console off for sure. NX estimated the hardware and software sales units are reflected in Nintendo's financial forecast, but they're not disclosing that information. Why would they? It will not make an appearance at E3, which we mentioned, and will be unveiled later this year. The new Zelda, which is in development, we talked about that. The Wii U version will be the only playable game Nintendo presents at the show. In quote, in order to provide attendees a complete immersion. So Nintendo's holding that
stuff. I guess
they
want to make sure that there's not gigantic lines.
Yeah.
And gigantic traffic by splitting attention to different games over.
Yeah, their eggs are in the 3DS basket, rightfully so. Like they don't need to do anything right now. So,
well, they're sure not making any money off the Wii U. That's for damn sure.
No, they've screwed up everything to do with the Wii U, and then they've not supported it.
You know what's interesting?
Upon screwing up with it,
you guys are right. But I remember seeing some.
No, it's more like third parties abandoned them, and that's why I failed.
Third parties have always abandoned Nintendo.
It doesn't help. They very shitty marketing, naming it, and yes, the worst thing they could have possibly done, making people think that the gamepad was an accessory for the Wii.
Yeah, yep.
And that was one of the major things. It's like nobody knew
it wasn't to industry spec.
You know, to be honest, they didn't lose money on the Wii U. They just didn't make the gobs of money that they normally.
Well, the only reason they didn't lose money on the Wii U is because they made a buttload off the Wii.
Yeah. Well,
that's the only reason they didn't lose money on the Wii U. Yeah. If they hadn't made all that money off the Wii, then they would probably be in shit city right now.
Yeah, well, they're not. I mean, Nintendo knows how to recycle itself, and this is.
I mean,
no,
Nintendo is profiting, but it's primarily because of the 3DS.
Yeah, no question about that.
Well, they've completely abandoned
the 3DS. Is what's keeping them alive right now.
I could have talked about the article where they have plans, or they're going to release a Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem apps on the mobile phones.
Yeah.
But I don't have it here.
Well, that's another foray that they're getting into, too, is the mobile stuff, which oddly is weird because I think
it's weird that it took them forever to do it.
I agree that it took – not only took them forever, but they could make a shit ton of money. My son was chomping at the bit to get anything Nintendo on the mobile. So
I think I understand their reluctance because Nintendo has dominated the handheld market since there was a handheld market to dominate. Right. And the thing is, like, I would can easily understand why they wouldn't want to potentially split their user base.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're going to see games like 3DS games coming out on mobile. I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening because there's a control scheme problem with that. But they could work it, but it would be...
Fire Emblem works as you really just have to point and click most of the time.
Yeah
they could have done the DS Zelda games on mobile. God, those things were shit.
I you know what I think Nintendo would be smart to do, and I don't think this is way off base. I know there have been a lot of companies to try to make a controller with a mobile, like some type of handheld device that you put on the phone. I think Nintendo can develop that. And
you know, it's a really good touch control scheme, Sarah, for the PS Vita that came out this week.
Huh. That's interesting. I
still
know
need to
that.
Well, apparently that game is very much it's designed around very much around the hardware, which is the kind of thing that you really have to do to make a to make something like that worthwhile.
It, well, it could probably translate to a touchpad device.
Maybe. Actually, there's one thing that I liked about the like the Uncharted Golden Abyss. That they, you know, one little function of the Vita that I thought was like, that's a really nice touch. I wish they would add that in since there's tilt controls in the, on the, DualShocks was the ability to, you could use the right stick to aim like you would normally, but you could tilt the machine to fine tune your aim.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
It was a really nice touch. It worked well. And I was hoping that they would add that into the HD collection, but they did not.
Something interesting, I think it's this article, says that it's a new concept, which Nintendo's always kind of been at the – whether you like the touch controls or the most controls or anything, they've always been kind of at the forefront of that. So I'm interested. I'm in right now. I don't know much about it like everybody else, but
– I just hope that the NX, the Wii Z, is not – it's not basically another like, oh, we're doing this, we're doing a new thing because a new thing is the thing we want to do.
I hope they do something that's innovative. Maybe integrate some VR stuff would be nice, like some glasses or, that would be cool. Maybe pie in the sky stuff. But Nintendo always, at the very least, Nintendo tries something interesting. So, I give them a lot of credit. I like Nintendo. I still do after all these years.
According to the behind closed doors that happened at E3 last year, the third parties were actually welcoming it.
Well, they said that about the Wii U too. We saw how that worked out. So
they didn't actually, not really.
They did. They I remember
they always do is the thing. But when Nintendo's going to launch a console, they get a lot of third party support. Remember how much support they had from was it Capcom for the Wii originally, or was it the GameCube? I can't remember which one. But they get a lot of initial support, and those games
with the Wii U, they didn't really get a lot of initial support. They got
they had EA, and then EA was like, "We're not developing for this thing. It's not strong enough." It's going to be too difficult to make, basically to provide parity.
But from what I heard, the Wii U was easy to work with. It wasn't a hard system.
Yeah, but they still they still didn't want to add to the development costs.
They wanted
to be comparable on every system, and the Wii U just wasn't up to the power of the Xbox One.
Like the Wii was not up to the power of the PS3 and Xbox 360.
I thought the Wii U had some good power behind it. I thought it was up there with the 360.
But if you wanted to make PS3 version games, yeah.
But the problem is the Wii U is roughly as powerful as the PS3 or the 360. It's not as powerful as the PS4. I mean, because it was not, this. Remember, Wii was with the PS3 and the 360. The Wii U was with the PS4 and the Xbox One. And it can for the last two generations now, Nintendo's console has not been nearly as strong as what the other companies have been.
That's
providing.
So weird because I could look at Wii U games and think that it has every bit the processing and. All the power of the latter system.
So it's weird that you need glasses, is what you mean?
Bitch.
If you look at games like, Darksiders 2 or Batman Arkham City on the Wii U, and or Deus Ex, they're competent. They have some frame rate issues here and there. But if you compare those games to there's a good solid comparison. Darksiders 2 on the Wii U versus Darksiders 2, Definitive Edition on the PS4, because that's what we're comparing.
Or the PC.
Yeah, I mean, there is no comparison. Like the Wii U is demonstrably weaker.
That's interesting. That's not a matter of programming. Then it's just a matter of horsepower.
Yeah, it's just the system is not as it's just not as strong. It's not as powerful.
Oh yeah, speaking of which, there's a Humble Bundle that's Nintendo based, and Darksiders 2 is one of the games on there.
Yeah.
I didn't have any problems with Darksider 2 on the Wii U, but I never really.
I'm not saying that it was problematic. I'm just saying that you're not going to get the level of visual fidelity that you can, or smooth performance.
Yeah, see,
on
this is
the
this,
Wii U as you would out of a PS4 or Xbox One.
This is something that I can't really speak to because I got neither of those systems. I was under the assumption that it had the horsepower to at least keep up, if not, you know.
It had that was the thing. The Wii U was roughly. I remember the original Wii,
the Wii
U was essentially.
Like
hang on. Let me finish.
Powerful than the PS3. Hang on.
The original Wii was roughly as powerful as two GameCubes strapped together.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
working in tandem, but that was still markedly weaker than the PS3 or the Xbox 360.
Well, I don't know if it was a fair comparison to the PS3 because if I remember correctly, it had
what it was current with
that cell processing, which nobody knew how to work with that. I remember that being like a huge thing for the PS3. They like nobody knew how to work with that cell.
Yes, but when you
processor.
But the thing is, you
but
were
they
never
figured it out.
Hang on, you would never ever see anything remotely as strong as say Uncharted 2 or The Last of Us on the original Wii.
No.
That's what it's current with. That was the current hardware of that generation. Just likewise, you're never going to see anything that looks like, what's a really major banner title?
You're never Call going to see. Hang on.
You're not going to see something that looks like The Order on a Wii U.
That's interesting because I think some of the visuals are actually pretty good on the Wii U.
I'm not saying they're bad, but they're not as they're not as technically strong as what you can get out of a PS4 or Xbox One.
No, I'm
games
guessing
like
not.
Xenoblade that have a good frame rate usually cut corners in other areas to make up for that.
Ah, yeah. I see. Well, that's a shame. Hopefully they'll get up to par with the NX. All right, let's move on to the next.
All I really want them to get right this time is fucking online.
Yeah.
I agree. Except an account system.
Yeah.
They need to get something right this time. Like, they've failed multiple times. They are so far behind. More friend codes. Oh, my God. They're just so far behind in online compared to everybody else.
That's actually one of the biggest problems I have with Nintendo, and I think it's very anti-consumer, where since purchases are tied to a device, not to an account, if your device dies, you lost your game. It happened with my stepdaughter's 2DS. It had a Pokemon, like Pokemon X on it. The system died. We had to send it for repairs. Sorry, your game's gone, and we can't give it back to you.
That's ridiculous. That like, it should be an account-based thing.
I think the NX is not going to do that. But
yeah, well, let's hope. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, they've stumbled until
this. Let's move on to the next story. Mug.
All right. Next one. Coming to us from Gematsu, the Neo Alpha demo is now available worldwide. This is the this is Koei Tecmo and Team Ninja's Sengoku Death game. It is
actually
the demo
it's more like Dark Souls.
Let me finish. Trust me, I've played it. You guys still there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, yeah, everything just went really quiet. I lost all the background noise. but it's now available worldwide in the PlayStation Store, and it's just like basically the beginning of the beginning stage of the game, and anyone who manages to complete the demo will get some bonus DLC that's going to supposedly only available through this time to demo.
Yeah, until they need money, and then they'll release it DLC. But okay.
Who knows? It is Koei Tecmo, and they're the ones who've put out like $500 worth of DLC or costume DLC for Dead or Alive.
Extreme 3.
Yeah. No, Dead or Alive Last Round.
Or that.
I've played the demo. I've played a decent amount of it, and it is a very shameless clone of Dark Souls. Yeah. Basically, Bloodborne. It's like, this feels really familiar. The control scheme's different. It's actually harder than Bloodborne, but it's pretty solid. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't know that it's, I'm still working on Bloodborne itself, so I don't know that I would really spend all the time with it. But, it's going to be available for the next 6-7 days. If you got a PS4, try it. See what you think. It's not bad.
Rub it in, why don't you? I need a Kickstarter to give me a PS4. How could I work that?
You'd be better off trying it for a GoFundMe.
Yeah, there you go. GoFund my PS4. All right, let's move on to the next story, Breakman.
For some reason, it's not loading for me.
All right, Eric.
So this is from Silly String Era. Find true love or meet a terrible end in visual novel Date or Die.
Oh, shit.
Touted as The Bachelor meets Danganronpa, visual novel Date or Die features six kidnapped strangers being forced into a twisted reality TV dating show. Only the person who bests the show's challenges will leave alive and find true love.
It sounds like Saw. It's like,
yeah.
Hello, Bachelor number one. I want to play a game.
Yeah, exactly.
And it looks cartoony. Yeah. And it's probably being made using RenP because it looks pretty primitive.
Yeah. In chat.
But hopefully the writing's good. But
In chat, Dungeon Buster.
Sounds interesting.
In chat, Dungeon Buster and Wyland are talking about DSP and how Neo would be a perfect game for DSP to play. This is how you don't play Neo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Anytime I see DSP, I think digital signal processor, but that's audio production.
Yep. And you guys have no idea the lengths I've tried to get DSP on this show.
I'm at signal processor, more like.
He shot me down every time.
Who's DSP?
Oh my God! You got to look him up on YouTube.
Yeah, look, just go to YouTube and type in "this is how you don't play," and you'll see a series of things where it's like someone fucking up at a game in the most staggeringly, idiotic ways.
Yeah, DSP.
And then he blames the game for his own failings.
Yeah.
He's the opposite of the Kacho in Game Center CX. I mean, he's bad at games, but he enjoys playing them at least.
Yeah, and it's like this guy's bad at games. Doesn't appear to be having fun.
No,
and yet he keeps going.
Yeah, he.
It's this weird, like this. It's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. Essentially, is what watching him play through games.
Yeah, it's pretty. Pretty funny. I love it. Wyland says, let me guess, Frank, I just don't have the time. No, I did get one reply from one time. What was the excuse? I'm doing another show, I think, one time it was, and then which I looked and I didn't see him on any particular show, but the other time it was something else ridiculous, too. I gave up after about... I think you remember, Wyland, I went after DSP to get him on the show just to talk to him about some stuff and call him on some things that I saw on some of his Let's Plays. And it was arduous, man. It was not a fun deal. Yeah.
He doesn't think Frank's a detractor. Maybe he thinks we are the detractors. And he wouldn't be wrong because I think he's dumb.
Well, he is, but it would be fun to have him on the show just so I can call him on a lot of his bullshit.
I have no idea who he is, so I can't be a distractor, right?
You got to look him up on YouTube. It's funny as fuck. Wyland turned me on to this asshole. Like, he was – we were talking about Let's
Plays. Well, no wonder he doesn't want to be on the show.
Now I can safely call him an asshole. I was being actually really nice and, like, saying, I want to get you on the show.
You called him Mr. Asshole before?
Yeah, I did. I called him Mr. Asshole. Now he's just asshole. But, yeah, look at his Let's Plays, man. They're atrocious, man. Like, anybody watches that is just purely watching to see him – how badly he can fuck up a game.
I could just watch you play, Frank.
Well, that too, but at least I won't curse at my TV. I'll, blame myself, but damn.
Oh, I thought you'd blame your kids.
Well, I should. Yeah, why not? All right, break. Next story, please.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Raiden 5 coming to the West End. Raiden 5. Moss will launch its Xbox One, shoot 'em up, Raiden 5 in North America, Europe, and Asia in May. And commemoration of the overseas release. Moss is also planning an update to the game that will add English voices, three kinds of main weapons, and other adjustments. Raiden 5, I'm just going to call it Raiden V. First launch for Xbox One in Japan. I'm going to call it Raiden V just to make everybody mad. First launch for Xbox One in Japan on February 25th. The game uses the Xbox One cloud to acquire the play data of other players in real time. You can trace the trails of your friends to help you out of tough areas. I need this feature badly. The battlefield will also change in real time based on you or your friends' actions. Online, you can help other players using the one-button cheer system.
You're doing great! Yay! Cheer system. Okay.
I kid you not. That what?
Well, now okay. I think it drops
items or something.
Wait. The word that they're I can guarantee you that the word they're translating from is Owen, which means to support. Now, it's I remember like the first time I ever encountered that word was in Final Fantasy VIII, like where if you played Final Fantasy, if you summoned one of the creatures, it would have you tap the button to boost, because that was how they translated it as, you know, Owen, because it's like it's essentially just meaning like do something to help.
Gotcha.
So I don't know. I don't think they literally mean cheer.
That's funny as fuck, though. What if it was an actual cheer button? Like
that
what,
would be funny.
It'd be a troll button.
Yeah, you push the cheer button, and it's like you're doing great. It's like a motivational system for
yeah,
you.
Just,
like
just hit the button whenever they're doing bad.
Yeah,
do it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Every time they failed, that was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Keep
anything
trying.
Else?
Keep trying.
Yeah, keep trying. You're
you
doing.
Can do it.
You can do it. Yeah, that's that's awesome. All right, guys, let's move on to the next story from a blog, AishaBlogspot.com. Wolfsden, I guess, is what it's what this website. Shadowbrain. I don't even know what the fuck this is. Shadowbrain finds its way to release. God, you could tell this is a blog and not an actual journalist. Well, here goes another time eater I've been busy with for a long time. Extensively hacked and carefully built together. See the README file. Is this one have blah, blah, blah. All right.
Basically, this game called Shadowbrain has been fan translated.
Oh, there you go.
And it's a,
and,
it's
I mean,
a time
judging
eater.
By the screen, yeah, judging by the screenshots, it looks like they did a pretty solid job.
So. Yeah. Looks. I mean, it looks like an old school like vector.
Dungeon crawler.
But
yeah. Vector.
Do
you know
vector.
What that word means?
Yeah, I know what that means.
NES does not do vector graphics. This is not a vector.
I don't even know what this is,
just
man.
At the game.
It's a Famicom game.
Jesus, what is this? Shadowbrain.
Vector graphics.
It's like if you took color to Tempest, that's what it
it's a Famicom
me.
Game.
Ugh, Tempest gosh. Had color.
Some color.
Tempest hat was very colorful.
No, it wasn't. Do you remember playing Tempest? I'm going to find a video of Tempest
right now. Yeah, I've seen Tempest. I actually saw Tempest the other day.
It's not vector graphics. That is a fucking grid, Frank.
I'm looking at – I'm going to pull up Tempest
it's
now.
It's a grid.
Frank needs glasses.
Thanks. Frank's thinking of Star Castle where the thing they had to have the overlay over the screen
to
give color to certain parts of it.
No. I'm going to
see. Frank already has glasses. So
I hadn't scrolled down to look at the screenshots until like you guys started arguing over what it was. I'm so glad I waited.
God damn, this game. I remember Tempest, man. Tempest was awesome, man. I wish they would come up with a really good update of Tempest.
There is an update. It's called Space Draft, and there's an even better version of that too.
What is that? I'll play that.
Space Draft. It's basically Tempest by another name, from the same original creator.
Yeah.
And also, there's a Vita game that was like called I forget what it was called, but I'm gonna look it up later.
Was there an Atari version of Tempest?
Yes, it was a Tempest 2000, which was also released on the PlayStation as Tempest X.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, yeah. I love that game.
It was one of the two decent Jaguar games.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good game, man. Shit, that gets me wanting to play that fucking game. Yeah, we're way back in time, Dungeon Buster. Let's fast forward to the current. All right, Eric, next story.
I think I got skipped.
Mug, sorry.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, all right. Coming to us live from My Nintendo News, it's the legendary Pokemon Zygarde. And I don't care if that's how it's probably not how it's pronounced, but that's how I'm pronouncing it. Fuck you all. Now available as a special gift in Europe, which we're none of us is, so... Pokemon fan site said, Jesus Christ, dude. I need to cap that shit. Has tweeted that the Pokemon company has begun distributing legendary Pokemon Zygardemon in Europe via the Nintendo network for Pokemon X and Y. As well as Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Those of you in North America will have to keep an eye out, as it should be coming.
Yeah, it should be coming hard right now.
I remember the game that was released on the PS Vita recently that's like Space Draft 2, but better than that. It's called THK. Or TXK. That's right.
TXK, basically, yeah. It was like, yeah, it was, and there was, and there was something to do about like a legal to fluff, you know, kerfuffle or something over
wasn't
it. Where
the creative got, space drafting.
I think the game's back on the store now, though.
Like, wasn't he like upset about the sales or something?
I don't know.
I think there was some controversy of that. I can't remember.
Oh, I remember that Space Giraffe was like, it's a visual nightmare. It's like just so much stuff going on screen at the time. It's, at one time, it's actually very hard to visually process what the hell's happening.
I'm looking at this link in chat, man. This is awesome, man. DSP, it plays, what is this, Mortal Kombat 10 or X or whatever the fuck you call it. Was, and it says, with subtitles. Which
oh,
is
no.
That's awesome. Gripper says, TXK by Jeff Minter for the PS Vita. So there you go.
Yeah, and there was – yeah, and it got pulled from, you know, for – because it was of disputed legality, because I think that there was like – it's because I think Atari still owns you know, Jeff Minter, who made the original Tempest, doesn't own the rights to Tempest. And I was like, this is too close. This is too close to Tempest.
I just went to the PS store and it's still there.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was pulled and then it was brought back after it was basically said like, yes,
yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it for the news this week.
Oh, we got more.
We do?
What are you talking about, Frank?
What the hell? Did we? Did
there
you
are
put
four
in
more
like,
stories.
Did you put in like four more stories?
I told you Frank needs glasses.
They were there. They were there from the outset.
This is the third time Frank has completely missed something this show.
Oh, like, my God. You added this shit.
No, yeah. He didn't. Frank. It was there at the start, dude.
No, he added this shit.
Yeah, no, it's
because
you weren't
started.
Here before.
Yes,
he
no,
Frank was
he
looking
did not.
At the document before you got here, so he Frank, probably Frank, didn't know I put those in.
It's the end of April, not the beginning of April.
It's when I was gathering news articles, and I showed you that one thing.
Oh, my God. Dude, you got to put these in before, dude. All right, let's move on to Gamatsu.
But Kate, you don't want to do them now?
I do, but damn, dude, like that just throws everything off. I'm like, man, we're making good.
We still
time
got
here.
This Pokemon one to do.
We did it. We just did it.
That one.
Yeah. So let's move on to this one. Cave Shoot 'em Up, Dangun Feveron coming to PS4.
Dangun.
Cave is bringing whatever that name is to PlayStation 4 in Japan as a download title this winter. So it probably will not make it here. I'm guessing. So,
Cage
actually had kind of a renaissance on Xbox Live Arcade, but that was like, you know, for US releases. But they generally don't seem to be doing much this generation.
Dejica might be publishing it because they published Darius Burst Chronicle Savior.
Yeah.
The weird thing about this is originally released in 1998 and has a weird disco theme, and instead of being mostly a bullet hell, it's more the challenge is in how fast the bullets actually travel, because there's less bullets but they travel faster, so it's difficult that way.
I don't know what's worse, that or the former that you said. The bullet hell games are the only bullet hell game I had a really good time with was the what the hell is that game where you turn black and white and try to
Ikaruga.
Yeah.
Ikaruga.
Whatever, yeah. Mug. Jesus Christ.
Pronunciation matters.
It does not.
Yes, it does.
No, not to me it doesn't.
Okay, but whatever you
you're
say,
Donald
Frank.
Trump when it comes to pronunciation.
It's like I have this argument with other people when it comes to Spanish, right? They mispronounce Spanish words all the time, but eventually you just got to say, you know what? Some people can't say certain things. And
now, the
it.
Thing is that it's a matter of being willing to put in the effort to learn.
I'm not. I'm fully.
Well, and that is yeah, a personal failing on your part.
No, that's
that doesn't mean it doesn't matter. That just means it doesn't matter.
To me, it
you.
Does not matter. Let's move on to the next story. Break.
Nothing like really matters.
That irritates me.
What irritates you?
When people say Ryu or Raiden.
Say what?
What difference does it make? Like, that's – I mean, come on, man. All right, go ahead.
How hard is it to say Ikaruga instead of Ikaruga?
It does it matter? You know what I'm talking about. The failing is on your part because it drives you crazy. That's what it is.
No, the thing all is, right. I'm saying it correctly. You're not. The
then I'm not
is
saying
yours.
It correctly. Like
you are. There's a right
there's
way.
There's not
a
not correct way in, to say a Japanese word. There's only one way to say a Japanese
word. All right. The only thing that's going to make me feel better about this is watching Breakman fail miserably about saying this next title. Go ahead, Break.
Going to us live from Destructoid. Yokai Watch is invading Final Fantasy.
No, you skipped one. You skipped it.
No, no, continue, Break. I'll take the next story.
No, I want Break to say this, damn it.
Wait. He needs to say this.
Yes. Gamatsu story, right before the yokai.
I think he intentionally skipped it.
I thought we did that one.
No.
Oh, my bad.
Here we go.
It's got to load. This will take a moment, right? Since you're dead set on me reading
I
this.
Am, man.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Dota Unpachi. Oh, shit. Daifukatsu.
It's Daifukatsu.
Daifukatsu.
There you go.
Coming to PC via Steam this fall. Daifukatsu. I can't.
It literally Daifukatsu means big restoration, essentially. Or big
yeah.
revival.
Which is why the English version that was released on the 360 years ago was called Resurrection instead. Which yeah. is I don't know why they probably have a claim to that name, which is probably why they can't use it here.
Anyway, this
it's probably different localization.
This game is coming to the PC in fall via Steam. This game is already available in Japan and Europe on the 360 and worldwide on smartphones.
Really?
Oh. I'd have to look into that. About the past is being altered. An android known as Next XEXY, Next XE, that's what I'm going to call him.
Ecstasy.
I don't know. Ecstasy has traveled 1,000 years back in time. Can she really stop the war? Your task is to stop Ecstasy and other elemental dolls who once protected humanity. Nexi dolls? Wait, really? Choose between three ships and three styles. Cancel bullets and increase your score with the hyper counter system. Turn the tides and clash lasers with the counter laser system. Bring in devastating backup with two-player cooperative play. Master the intricate scoring system for which Cave has become famous.
Sounds Steam like a defensive shoot. Yeah.
Steam trading card, cloud saves, and leaderboard support. In other words, yeah, too hard for me to play. Details, platform, PC, one or two-player cooperative play supported.
Mm. So there you go. Another shoot-em-up.
Probably too hard for me.
Yeah. Shoot-em-ups are really
Cave
hard.
Makes bullet hell shoot-em-ups. I mean,
yeah, they make the harder. Like they're shoot 'em ups are already hard for me. I do enjoy them, but they're like you know I can't get past like the third stage usually.
Yeah,
I still
you know,
enjoy them.
I still enjoy them.
But Cave makes games like I'll die on the first stage and want to break my controller in half.
Yeah, see, those are the type of games that like we were talking about Let's Plays. Those are the games that you really get. I get a lot more enjoyment watching Let's Plays on those games than almost any other game, because I think if you're good at those games, you're just a pretty good gamer in general, man. You have really good reflexes, and I don't know. It's one of those things, man. I like it.
Death Smiles is actually it's actually pretty low on the difficulty scale. You could probably play a game like that.
Yeah,
I remember Cave actually was – I think it was Cave who developed the King of Fighters Sky Stage, which was like the most random side project ever. It's like King of Fighters, you know, street fighting characters essentially, you know, flying under their own power and taking on swarms of enemies. I'm like, what the hell am I playing?
Dungeon Buster says Cave makes great bullet hells. He also says Donpachi is a neat series. So
the original Donpachi game was just Donpachi, and then they made Donpachi.
Yeah. All right. Now we can go on to the next one. Eric.
Next one is a Yokai Watch collab with Final Fantasy 14. And vice versa. This is from Destructoid. And it says it's going to happen soon, but the level 5 creator of Yokai Watch has teamed up with Square Enix to bring some of its most popular characters from Final Fantasy 14. This includes pets, equipment, a whisper mount, and even the titular watch accessory. This doesn't sound like a half-assed event, as the weapons in particular have a crazy amount of detail in their own names, like the axe called the Paw of the Crimson Cat. Since players are able to glamour high-level items with the appearance of lower-level ones, any piece of gear is valuable. Release date was not given, but a new 3.3 patch was also announced in tandem with the crossover. On the flip side, Final Fantasy will be invading Yo-Kai Watch 3 with two new characters, Chocobo Nyan and Moogle Nyan.
That's probably like Nyan as in meow, not neon like the light.
Yeah.
I like crossover events with games. I know some people like, you know, kind of grit their teeth at it because sometimes the placement's kind of weird, but I kind of like crossover.
I remember the crossover between Metal Gear Solid 4 and Assassin's Creed. That was kind of funny.
I like that type of stuff. I think it's cool, especially if it's done in the right way, like you mentioned. That's I like it. I think more games should do that. Like what was it? The Street Fighter and not Tekken, but Capcom versus Street Fighter, whatever the fuck they call those games. Marvel
X-Men versus Capcom. Street Fighter, Marvel X-Men. Superheroes, and then they.
I think SNK changed their name from SNK Playmore back to SNK because Playmore doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I like that stuff.
X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Capcom, Marvel versus Capcom 2, Marvel versus Capcom 3.
I like that stuff.
And also Capcom versus SNK.
Yep.
I love Capcom, that one. Yeah.
Capcom versus SNK 2. SNK versus Capcom.
It was SNK versus Capcom. That was the one that I really loved. Yeah. That one had a character editor.
But there was SVC Chaos, which was the arcade version, the Neo Geo one. And then there was SNK versus Capcom Match of the Millennium, which was the Neo Geo Pocket Color Fighter. And there was also Card Fighters Clash, which was their collectible card game.
I've
tried to black out card games from my mind.
I also like when they put Easter eggs from certain games into other games too.
Did that. Actually, there was an event for one of the Monster Hunter games where, since the 10th anniversary of Okami is up, they put like a special costume where you can get the Amaterasu outfit.
Yeah, I like stuff like that. Certain games where you'll see reference to movies like in the background or, you know, stuff like that. Or like Easter eggs in movies like what the hell is that movie called? It's Return
Predator
of the Living.
Predator 2.
Return of the Living.
Where they had the alien skull at the end.
Yeah, that was cool. I dug that.
The end of Jason Goes to Hell where Freddy's glove comes up and grabs the mask.
That was really cool. I like stuff like that. Like, I even like small Easter eggs like Return
of the Nerds. Revenge of the Nerds.
Return of the Living Dead where like if you look closely you could see the nude pic of Vanessa Williams in the background. Like there's all kinds of little things like that are really cool. Or the Marvel movies, obviously the end kind of Easter eggs at the end, and during the movies you can see a lot of comic book references. And I think it was like, what was it, Iron Man 2, where you first saw Captain America's shield, which is really cool. You know, shit like that. It's really fun. I like stuff like that. It's fun. All right, let's move on to the last story, Eric.
That's me. And coming to us live from Destructoid, Ding Dong the fucking Witch is dead. Lionhead Studios is officially no more as of today.
No more shitty Fable games, yay.
Yeah, I know. After multiple sources has heard that Lionhead Studios, formed in 1996, still had hope, the end has finally come. According to Kotaku UK, the developer has officially closed down for good following a nominal consultation period. Fable Legends officially shut down on April 13th, and it's not coming back.
Although feel bad for all the people that lost jobs.
Yeah, that does suck. We can confirm that after much We can confirm that after much consideration over the 6-week consultation period with Lionhead employees, we have reached the decision to close Lionhead Studios, reads Microsoft's statement on the issue sent over today. We have nothing but heartfelt thanks for the team at Lionhead for their significant contributions to Xbox and the games industry. Hopefully that heartfelt thanks includes some severance pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Lionhead wasn't just the Fable factory it became in later years. It carried on the work of Peter Molyneux's own Bullfrog Productions, crafting Black and White, which hosted its own sequel and expansion.
Outside of the microtransaction element, Legends actually looked like a decent little romp, and the cross-factor between Xbox One and Windows 10 was a great example of Microsoft's new United Front initiative. Good luck to those involved with the studio, and I hope you move on to bigger and better things.
Those guys are very talented. They just had a leader that was out of his fucking mind. Like literally.
He's been gone for a while, though.
Yeah, I know. But
they couldn't live without him, though.
Yeah, he was.
I mean,
live with him. They couldn't live without him.
Apparently. Well, he gave him direction. He was a pie in the sky guy, and I like that. But you know, his games really they didn't fulfill the promises they made. But
well, yeah, but
they did have
like
a lot
crazy.
Of fun. There was a lot of fun gameplay in those, not just Fable games, but games like Populous.
Mm-hmm.
Black and White had terrible controls. It would have been a fun game if it didn't have terrible controls.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says the Fable games weren't bad if you just shut out Molyneux's hype and just appreciated them for what they did.
Yeah, I agree exactly.
They weren't perfect, but I had
also the writing in those games were just bad. They could have done with better writing.
Well, that's almost every video game. I don't know if you
noticed. But no, it's the writing for the voice acting in particular. It's like. Yeah. Why'd you pick these people?
Yeah,
and why'd you make him say these things?
I had fun with the first Fable, all right, but it was just not my bag. I'm more of like a turn-based person, but they were okay from what I played. So you know, it's sad news, but you know,
I remember talking with Ellie about it and how like from a British perspective, he's like. Why are you doing caricatures of the British people?
yeah, I remember that type of talk too. He overblew everything. Like it was just I don't know.
Yeah.
He was
very ambitious, but yeah, you know, his reach always exceeded his grasp.
Well, but that's the problem. Once he left, they lost that ambition.
Well,
I think that's what doomed them was him leaving.
I don't know. I agree with you. Him leaving actually did doom them, but it because they didn't have the hype train behind.
Oh, not necessarily doomed them, but I think it hurt them. Like it set them back, sort of like Apple. You know, yeah. Like
actually, I don't even know if I should be calling Ellie because I think they're called by Roxy now. But Roxy. I'm not sure if that's just their internet name or what.
I don't know.
It's like Apple without Steve Jobs. Like they're capable of quality work, but they don't have like that direction.
Right.
You know?
Right. All right. Well, that's the end of the news. Finally and mercifully. There's no homie discounts. I think you mentioned one earlier, Eric. But break. Twitter questions.
Actually, there is a Golden Week sale that's still going on. On PSN, there's lots of stuff there, like
it's
RPGs.
It's lots of weeaboo friendly stuff.
There's also a Steam anime sale too.
Yeah, there's I did. You can get what is it? I saw a couple of things that kind of stood out in the sale. I think what was it? Gravity Rush was on sale for like $17.99. Yeah, the remastered on PS4 was on sale for $17.99. Suikoden 2 and 3 were on there for like 70% off.
Gripper says I blame Milo.
Oh God, that was so freaking weird.
Yeah. All right.
Creepy.
All right. So there's some discounts on the PSN. Any Twitter questions, Break?
Let me see here. No, I don't see anything.
All right. We're good. Moving on. What have you been playing, Break?
You know, actually. He did send me something on my Twitter, something about he wanted a POV perspective of him swinging a bat so he could send it to you, Frank.
Oh, okay. He's probably in reference to Walking Dead.
Yes, this is in reference to Walking Dead. Him apparently smashing your head in.
I believe oh, yeah. Right.
I assume him would be Freak 5 Chaos.
Yes. Sorry. Did I not say that? My bad.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one who ever sends his Twitter questions.
Exactly.
It's true.
All right.
I think, like, I'm not seeing it here, but I know I read that earlier today. So, anyway.
Maybe you're just imagining it, man.
Well, maybe it's hopeful wishing.
Yeah. All right. So, what you been playing, Break?
So, let me see. I've been playing the same things I always play. So, let's move on.
Halo 5.
Plants vs. Zombies 2.
No. I haven't played that in a while. But it's – I don't pick up my phone to play anything. It's a record keeper.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, for me, anything. Oh, I'm playing the, you know, the usual. It will always be Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Okay. It's a fun game. It's a good game. I can't deny that. I love it. I just don't have enough time to play it with Record Keeper.
All right. Eric, what have you been playing?
Finally finished my outstanding commitments to get Shiny Taze and Fruit of Grisaia done.
Sweet. Where can we see reviews of those when they come out?
Boston Bastard Brigade.
All right. Anything else?
I played a little bit more Reigigant and Severed.
What's Severed? Is it a zombie game?
It's this PS Vita game I told you about earlier where you use touch controls, and it's more or less a Drinkbox Studios take on Metroid Prime if it were taking place in a demon-infested world, and Ooh. Instead of using guns, you fought with a sword. So it's kind of like Resident Evil Night Survivor mode.
I like that.
Did you ever play Resident Evil for the DS? That's what the Night Survivor mode was in. Where they like put sections of the game where the only way you could fight was with the knife, and it would be a first-person section.
Yes. I did play that game, Eric, actually.
So it's basically that game the entire time.
Huh. That's interesting. All right. What else we got here? Anything else you've been playing, Eric?
I played a little bit of the PC version of Corpse Party and the very beginning sections of Mega Tag Dimension, Blonde, and Neptune versus Zombies.
All right. What about you, Mug? What have you been playing?
I have primarily been playing, I've kind of split my attention. Like I said before, I played some of the Neo Alpha demo, which was pretty solid and, you know, fairly promising. The game might be worth picking up. Mm-hmm. I picked up – they had a sale, flash sale last weekend where they had some games, and I picked up the Castlevania Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate HD edition. And if you guys remember, that was their vaguely Metroidvania-ish 2D side-scrolling game that they put out on the 3DS. Mm-hmm. What's that?
It bored me.
Well, actually, I found I've enjoyed it a lot more than I expected to. I do know that apparently there were a lot of, like, you know, really obnoxious, like, QuickTime events or something in the 3DS version that they've essentially just automated, so you don't have to, you know, they just become, like, you know, non-interactive cutscenes that you just kind of watch play out. Mm. Which apparently, in the reviews I saw, you know, are said to greatly improve the flow of the game. And, I mean, I've had fun with it. I'm about... probably about 80% of the way through it.
I kind of wish that the console version's got more of a visual upgrade from the 3D version.
Yeah, and in the game engine cutscenes that aren't like that weird, you know, painted / cel shaded look that they do for like the voiced ones, the frame rate is awful. But the frame rate's fine actually, you know, in game, so it's not a big deal. But I mean, I paid like $5 for it, and I've been playing it for like 9 hours at this point, so I feel like I'm getting my money's worth.
My problem with that game was that it didn't feel like it had an identity, and it's the way of you traverse the dungeon. Just I think it was constructed poorly.
I don't know. I'm having fun with it, but what I've mostly been playing is Bloodborne. Like I said, Fear the Old Blood, and this is my first, you know, Souls type game. I was thinking, you know, I'm finally going to, you know, take the plunge and try one. So I'm going, which will I try? I did some, you know, read some reviews and, you know, looked at some footage, and I'd seen some of Bloodborne early on, and I really liked the aesthetic of it. So I've been playing that. I probably logged about 15 or so hours on it in the past week, and it's got me.
Yeah, that's how those games are, man. Like, they're brutal, but man, fun.
Yeah. The game drip feeds you everything.
Yeah.
It's like that, you know, it doesn't, you know, it essentially says, you know, here you are in this world, figure things out. There's a little bit of tutorial information in like the Hunter's Dream where, you know, if you look for it, you can find it, but it's not going to, you know, you don't go through a tutorial stage, and, you know, it's got an kind of an odd control scheme for a, you know, for an action based game, where you use the shoulder buttons to attack. But since the game is so built around, you know, knowing your surroundings, it's actually a really good thing that it leaves your thumb free to control the camera. And so I don't know the length of the game. I'm up to the Forbidden Woods, and I've reached the second lamp and opened some shortcuts and everything. And then I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I was very pleased that I managed to beat, what was her name, the cleric Amelia, or like Nurse Amelia, or whatever her name was. Mm-hmm. I beat her on my first try, and I was like, "Woo! Check me out!"
Yeah, that's lucky, man. Anything on the first try in that game, man, that's you know.
Yeah, what the sad thing was, I'm like, you know, I beat that on the first try, and I died against the Witch of Hemwick, and I was like, "Oh fuck!" Like, this is not a hard boss, and yet I just wasn't, you know. It didn't help that I had no idea. So it's like, okay, what's this place? Shit, I'm locked in here. I can't get out. I have to fight a boss. Damn it. I've got like 80, you know, I've had something like 30,000 blood echoes. And I was like, shit, I'm going to lose these. I'm never going to get these back.
Yeah, that type of shit does suck.
That game's kind of sucky when you die because you can get your blood echoes back. But the thing is, some random enemy will steal it. Then you have to track them down.
Yeah.
Well, it's always in the same general area. It's only a real problem if it's one that, you know, if it's a difficult enemy that killed you. Like, there's these big spindly guys that have this massive like farming rake thing, and they do a ton of damage. And like, I died to that one. It's like I would get the blood echoes back, and then I still have to fight him, this guy, to continue. So it's like, and then I would die to him again. It's like I died to this one guy twice before I finally got him and basically cheesed him with Molotovs.
That's
I was like,
that's
oh, what I got him, and then I continue on, and I got
to the at least then, the major enemies in that game don't come back when you're done with them.
Yeah, the bosses,
and there's quite a few and of those kinds of enemies.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm really getting into, like, I like the slow, like, I don't know, the game doesn't spoon feed you anything. It's like there's nothing in the way of exposition, and it's just basically like, yeah, most of the story is in basically like world cues and like some of the, and then some of the flavor text. And it's like, I'm picking up bits and, you know, more and more bits and pieces of it as I go. And I'm thinking like, oh, this is like actually really Lovecraftian. And I'm like, I'm really digging that because it's very rare that I get like the, you know, I guess one of the things that's always struck me about Lovecraft stuff is that it's terrifying if you're completely ignorant of how the world works.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it works well for the time in which it was written, but in the modern age, Lovecraft stuff doesn't really work.
No, but you have to suspend your belief.
Oh, like, yeah. I guess that's the kind of thing where, like, I discovered one thing, like, you know, there's one of the stats in Bloodborne, it's called insight. It's like, and it's like, you know, it's your a greater understanding of the world around you, of what's going on. And I found that out that, like, you know, there's one status ailment called frenzy, which essentially causes, you know, it's like an infection. Your brain just kind of goes, and, you know, and at least at my current level, I die. It's like, if frenzy takes me, then it's just instant death for me. And and I found out that the higher your insight, the worse, and, you know, the less resistance to it you have. And I was thinking, like, and realizing that, oh, I get it. Frenzy is essentially like full understanding of what's happening. And, you know, if your insight is high enough, then you just like your pitiful human brain cannot comprehend what's going on here. And you just kind of go and you're gone. Like, and that's very Lovecraftian. And it's like, I like that.
That's interesting.
That's terrifying.
It's like a sanity meter, like in that one game where
Eternal Darkness.
That too, that's a good example, but there's another game, it just came out not too long ago. All you have is a lamp and you're basically running, like the entire game you're just like running and hiding. What the hell is the name of that game? Somebody in chat might know. Dungeon Buster might know. You have a lamp and all you're doing is going around. It's a PC game, but I saw a Let's Play of it and it looked terrifying because that's all it is about, you staying sane and in the world. It's a very dark game. I can't remember what the fuck. Damn, what the hell is it? Like, all you have is a lamp and you're walking around and I don't know, you have to run, and if you see the, like, the monsters in the game, it, like, it drives you nuts.
You mean Knock Knock?
No, not Knock Knock. It's Amnesia. I knew Dungeon Buster would
be. That's not
Amnesia.
Recent.
There's actually been a sequel to that, which apparently wasn't all that great.
Yeah, Amnesia was great though. That was a great game. Like from what I saw, I didn't play it. But
yeah, I have that game. I tried to play it. I was like, I can't handle this.
It's a lot, isn't it? I was even watching the Let's Play, and I was having a hard time watching the Let's Play because it's pretty.
What gets me is people are like, oh, I watched that. Yeah, I watched PewDiePie playing that. It didn't seem that scary. You didn't play it. You don't know what it's like.
Right, playing is different. But even watching a Let's Play of that, and it's
watching someone like PewDiePie who, you know, he overdoes like the reactions and everything. He makes it more comedic.
No, you got to watch a Let's Play with no talking, basically. And
or someone who's taking it seriously.
There's a sanity meter in the Shadow Hearts series,
but I really love that game you mentioned, Eternal Darkness. That game is, to me, an all-time great game. I love that game.
It hasn't aged well, I'll say. Just visually, it hasn't aged well.
But that game is just good, man. It's just a good, solid game. I wish they would have went ahead.
This is also another game that has Lovecraftian themes in it.
Yeah, it does, and it's good. It's really good. All right, let's move on.
It's very nice to see, like, when you see something like that done well, because it's done poorly so often.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. All right, let's move on to our Stinkos. I'm going to start with Breakman, because Eric, you don't have anything down there.
Okay, my Stinko goes to the new law in Oxford, Alabama. They thought that they liked some of the laws that were going around lately. All these the bathroom laws. Basically, they want transgender people to. If you're born a male, to go into the male bathroom. If you're born female, go into the ladies' room type shit. You know, despite what going against their total gender identity, discriminating against them. But in the total argument that, well, if we let men into the women's room, they're going to start raping girls. Well, you know, even though there was nothing stopping from rapists from going into the women's room anyway.
Right. It's just like, a stupid argument.
It's not like there was some security guard.
The thing is, what people go on about is like this whole thing is like, you know, it's, oh, these people are dangerous. Like, you know, you don't know. Like, stranger danger is a bullshit concept.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. Know they're rapist.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway.
Know their abuser.
So Oxford, Alabama decided, hey, that's not good enough. These laws just aren't good enough. We're going to make it illegal for you to not use the bathroom your gender assigned to, and you could be arrested or fined.
You know what I don't understand about this?
And this is apparently in reaction to Target saying that, you know, we are fine with anybody. Target's really the first large retail company to step up and say, hey, whatever your gender identity is, we're cool. That's cool.
Yeah,
so
and that's how everybody. Oxford, should be.
So apparently, Alabama's having this reaction to Target among, you know, other groups. But whatever.
I'm interested in is how they're going to enforce this because
that's what I was going to get into. Like, we're going to have to hire poop police in Alabama now.
Well, not
like, are they going to stand guard at the urinal at the door?
Not even that.
Because the rule is now what their law is now is that. If you go into the wrong bathroom, somebody has to call the police, obviously. And if you don't wait for the police to show whatever it's called right now.
So now everybody is a gender expert now, right?
Yeah.
So I've seen plenty of men that look like women and plenty of women that look like men. So how are they going to know for sure? That's what I'm interested in. How they're going to enforce this?
Well,
that's what the real thing is, they check genitals
as you go in the bathroom. They stand outside.
So you said on Twitter, wait. The only way they're going to enforce this is by being total creepers.
Yeah.
Wait.
But you know, who's really going to be hurt by this is lunch ladies.
I know it's
a mean joke, but in the...
but seriously, break like what are they going to do? Have an officer
they have
check
the poop
your balls?
They cup, and then they I guess what else do you have to do? All you have to do is really cup, right?
Yeah, just like put your fingers down there. Like I'd really like to see them enforce this. Like honestly, I
to me, it's blatantly unconstitutional.
It definitely is unconstitutional. Oh, yeah. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's stupid to even think that there's any type of danger with transgender people, any more so than normal, regular people, up to and including women.
And one of the arguments that I read lately, was saying, well, you're worried about them, about these so-called rapists going into the girls' bathroom, but you're not worried about them raping the boys.
Right. That's exactly. I would be more concerned with priests raping boys than I would be a transgender person.
And there's actually, and there's a precedent of that.
There is a precedent. There is no – right. How this even became a thing is just beyond me. Like, it's just so stupid.
It's just the cultural zeitgeist. The transgender stuff is very much, the focus of the public at the moment.
You know what we should be doing? We should be making unisex bathrooms everywhere with private stalls. Private stalls.
You know what? I want adult-only bathrooms. That's what I want. I don't want to share with kids.
I don't care either way, as long as there's privacy, like going from top
no,
to
because
bottom.
Then you have the little toddlers come in there and they're, "Daddy, I'm done. Daddy, would you wipe me? Daddy, come on, like, shut up, kid. I'm trying to pee."
Well, I think you just don't like children.
To be fair,
I don't either. So,
I mean, I don't mind
like
kids.
Most children. That's different.
I honestly think Wivix and I were talking about this. Why don't they just make all bathrooms with top to bottom privacy? Like, it's just stupid to me. Like, why this is even a topic?
Yeah, that's what I would like my own, like, personal bathroom.
Yes.
A toilet and a sink, just, like, in a little, like, small space. It doesn't have to be big.
Yeah.
And just, like, put, like, 10 of those in every building or something like
Absolutely.
That. That would be awesome.
Yep. All these big retailers could easily do it. I actually think in that case, unisex. And it would be fine. Nobody would ever be – worried about it. It's no big deal. It's
your
stupid.
Own private stalls. That would be amazing. Yeah, I do like that idea, Frank.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's simple. It doesn't cost much more money. There's no controversy. It's, you just go to the bathroom in privacy and that's it.
I still wouldn't want to go in public. I mean, fuck that.
Going in public is okay. It's nothing.
Oh, what? Oh, you use a public toilet? What's wrong with you, Frank?
Dude, if you got to go, you got to go, man.
I use a public toilet on a stage. Again.
All right. Let's move on, Mug. What's your stinko, man?
I've got a few.
All right.
Everyone knows about the whole Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill thing.
Yes.
And it's like all these people going, it's like talking about, preserving Andrew Jackson's legacy. I'm like, you fucking idiot.
Andrew Jackson's legacy.
He was one of the worst people that's ever held office in this country's history.
Yep.
Remember, he was directly responsible for the Trail of Tears. Mm-hmm. And they're just irritating. Like, dumbasses being dumbasses and are going to be dumbasses. Yeah. But what got me in, even more was the Oklahoma's law where they ruled that forced oral sex isn't rape if she's unconscious.
Oh my God. Really?
It's victim blaming enshrined in law. It's like, oh, she got drunk? Well, you can do whatever. You can fuck her mouth. Whatever. She's not going to be awake to care.
This actually passed? Or is it this passed? This is a law now? So in Oklahoma, it's okay to see a passed out, unconscious chick at a party
I'll go into a little detail here. So now an Oklahoma court has stunned local prosecutors with a declaration that state law does not criminalize oral sex with a victim who is completely unconscious. The ruling, a unanimous decision by the state's criminal appeals court, is sparking outrage among critics who say the judicial system was engaged in victim blaming and buying outdated notions about rape. But legal experts and victims' advocates said they viewed the ruling as a sign of something larger. The troubling gap still exists between the nation's patchwork of laws and evolving ideas about rape and consent. The case involved allegations that a 17-year-old boy assaulted a girl, 16, after volunteering to give her a ride home. The two had been drinking in a Tulsa park with a group of friends when it became clear that the girl was badly intoxicated. Witnesses recalled that she had to be carried into the defendant's car. Another boy, who briefly rode in the car, recalled her coming in and out of consciousness. The boy later brought the girl to her grandmother's house. Still unconscious, the girl was taken to a hospital, where a test put her blood alcohol content above 0.34. She awoke as staff were conducting a sexual assault examination. Tests would later confirm that the young man's DNA was found at the back of her leg and around her mouth. The boy claimed to investigators that the girl had consented to performing oral sex. The girl said she didn't have any memories after leaving the park. And that's true. Blackout drunk, your brain just does not form memories.
Yeah.
Tulsa County prosecutors charged the young man with forcible oral sodomy. But the trial judge dismissed the case, and the appeals court ruling on the 24th of March affirmed that prosecutors could not apply the law to a victim who was incapacitated by alcohol.
Here we quote.
Forcible sodomy cannot occur where a victim is so intoxicated as to be completely unconscious at the time of the sexual act of oral copulation, the decision read. Its reasoning, the court said, was that the statute listed several circumstances that constitute force and yet was silent on incapacitation due to the victim drinking alcohol. We will not, in order to justify prosecution of a person for an offense, enlarge a statute beyond the fair meaning of its language. Benjamin Fu, the Tulsa County District leading the case, said the ruling had him completely gobsmacked. The plain meaning of forcible oral sodomy, of using force, includes taking advantage of a victim who was too intoxicated to consent, he said. I don't believe that anybody until that day believed that the state of the law was that this kind of conduct was ambiguous, much less legal. And I don't think the law was a loophole until the court decided it was. And
So in other words, it's perfectly okay in Oklahoma to rape someone as long as they're unconscious.
Yeah, basically, like if you get a girl drunk enough to where she blacks out, fuck her mouth, you're fine.
16 years old, she's oh man, that's what was it again? What was her blood alcohol?
0.34.
That's ridiculous.
That's potentially lethal.
Yes, that's very close to alcohol death. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's four times the legal limit.
What's it called again? I don't know.
That's
alcohol poisoning.
That's got to change.
Thank you.
I mean, what's next in Oklahoma Sharia law? Like, honestly, yeah. Like this is that's
the weird thing is, it's like these people are like, sex for pleasure is bad unless it's non-consensual.
Yeah, then it's fine.
Then it's no big deal. And I guess, but the thing is, all these laws are about one thing: criminalizing the sexual behavior of women, pure and simple. You have sex. Oh, you got raped. Oh, you must have done something to ask for it. Oh, you're saying that you did have sex with them willingly. Well, then it's your, you need to have this baby because, well, you went into it knowing what you were getting into. But what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Oklahoma's always been one of those weird ones. I almost consider Oklahoma part of the South. Like they're wacky, man. They're pretty close to Colorado too. I don't know, man. I don't even know what to say about that, Mug. That's awful. All right, what else?
Judges around this country. It's not just Oklahoma. Like judges and juries around this country make some of the most fucked up decisions I've seen.
Which is the thing. And what gets me about that is that judges should understand the. I mean, they have a responsibility. I mean, it's like these people don't understand that what you're doing sets a legal precedent that can impact the lives of millions of people.
Yeah. Like the judge who gave that so-called influenza kid, like, parole. Like, what the fuck?
He's not capable of the made-up word.
You're legalizing a made-up word, for one thing.
Yeah. Affluenza. I'm like, affluence. Very clever. Yeah, I remember seeing, it was a joke video about it made in New Zealand where it's like this little kid was complaining, like, I've only got a 1 gig iPod. And it's like, yeah, haha, clever. It was funny. But it's like, this is essentially saying that, well, if you spoil your kids enough, you absolve them of all responsibility for the rest of their lives. But anyway, moving on to moving on to much, much, much lighter territory. I've just looking at some stuff for King of Fighters 14, and I was like, I saw that one of the new characters they added in is this character named Sylvie, and she is the worst fucking character design SNK has ever, ever, ever made. She's this weird, she's not Moe, she's not an idol girl, she has this huge hair. And just everything about her just makes me want to – just makes me cringe. I'm like, oh my God. I still want this game. But she makes it slightly grudging that I want the game.
Oh my God. I'm looking at it.
I can't think of this
what
character.
Picture? Where?
I put it on
just
the stream.
Just look up KOF 14 Sylvie. S-Y-L-V-I-E.
She's got like these eyes on her head, this wild hair. God, that's awful, man. That's – it's terrible.
And it's like, and her movements are only make it worse.
I haven't seen her movements. I'll have to check that out after the show, man. That is awful. It's terrible. Ugh. Definitely lighter than your last topic, though. But yeah. All right, on to my stinko of the week, and then I'll go right into my sweeto after this, guys. We had these tree cutters that were cutting down a tree a couple of townhomes over, and those guys are douchebags, man. They get my stinko of the week. I'm not going to mention the company name. I don't want to give – if anybody's listening, I don't want to give them any play whatsoever. But basically, they gave Whippix and I a hard time about, our, quote, million-dollar homes as they were doing it. Because we were concerned with things. Like, they were cutting down this tree, and – they were parked in our spot. So I didn't think nothing of it. I parked behind them because we have assigned parking in our townhomes. So, you know, I just assumed they would be gone in a little while and no big deal. So they moved their truck out of the way. So I'm like, I'll just move my car back into my spot. And then when I went out there, they were like, we're not responsible if your car gets hit by any tree branches. And I'm like, the fuck you aren't? Like, this is, you guys didn't give me any notice that you were going to be doing this. And he's like, we got it approved through the city and blah, blah, blah. I was like, that doesn't exempt you or make you immune for your fuck up. So if you hit my car, you're paying for it. You know, I don't want my car to get hit. I only have one car, but... you would think you would be professional enough to not
do that.
Well,
there's also the fact that – did you hire them?
No, I did not.
Yeah, and you didn't sign a contract with them absolving them of anything.
Right.
Were these city workers?
No, not city workers, man. It was a company.
Yeah, tree cutters are private industry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but there are tree cutting government workers too.
But yeah, but I mean, like, there are companies that you hire. Like, they're basically tree and stump removal. Yeah. Is what they do.
Well, this
and they charge out the ass for it too.
And it was weird because this guy was like, I was like, you guys didn't give me anything written, like, to let me know that you're going to do this. Therefore, I mean, I'm not obligated to move my car. So if you hit it, you're going to pay for it. He's like, well, if you want something written, I can give you something written, but, you know, you don't have to sign for it. You know, in other words, you know, we're basically going to be immune from anything. So I was like, that's just ridiculous. So I told Whippix about it. And Whippix being the more kind of aggressor, I guess, she went out there and she was like, you know, I don't want you guys in my yard. They put all kinds of, like, the neighbor's kids' toys in our yard. And it was just a mess, man. And she went out there and they were basically, you know, making fun of our house like it was a $1 million home, which, you know, probably about $250,000 home is what I got. Not a million, but who gives a fuck? That's none of your business. You're doing something that shouldn't matter what a house looks like or not. You know, like if you guys were to see the inside of my house does look like $1 million on the inside. On the outside, not so much because it's a fucking townhome. But inside, I'm pretty proud of the additions that I did inside. I got granite countertops. I got fucking nice cabinets. I got nice carpet downstairs. Like I did basically $25,000 worth of renovations in my house to get it looking like modern. I've got can lighting. I've got awesome flooring. My house looks, one day I'm going to post some pics on Twitter or something of my house. And I don't give a fuck. Like, my house is my house. It's my castle, per se. Whether it's worth $1 million or not, it's not upon you to say, you know, to make fun of it like it's, oh, it's a $1 million house. Like, that has, you know, nothing to do with it. Plus, he was mouthing off against Whippix. And Whippix basically told him, you know, stay off my property. And he's like, you know, as soon as she started being... forceful with it, he's like, I'm done talking to you and blah, blah, blah. So you know what I decided to do? I decided to get something taken care of with the city itself. So Whippix made a call to the city to see what was going on, you know, what, you know, basically to be informed what the laws were with this type of thing. And a cop was sent out. They basically transferred us to the police. Normally I have huge issues with police, but in this case, for the first time ever, guys, I'm giving the cops, specifically the North Glen cops and the cop that came to my house, a sweeto of the week. Because after we told him everything that went on, he basically laid it out and said, look, there's nothing that they're doing that's criminal unless they do get back on your property. But I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tell them to stay off your property and clean up their damn mess, basically. And yeah. If something does happen to your car while they're doing it, regardless if they have permission of the city or not to take down that tree, they will be responsible civilly. So basically, yeah, what he was saying, if they fuck up your car, get them in court. So there you go. It was the most pleasant time I've ever had talking with a cop. And look, like Gripper said, I'm eating my words. I'm not eating my words. I still think 95% of all cops suck. But in this case,
like I said, Frank, I've had several good interactions with police officers.
Well, a lot of it comes down to the circumstances under which you talk to them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just Gripper, the week before, I had one of the worst experiences I've ever had with a cop with my kids and wife in the car. And lucky that I had him in there, because I think it would have been a completely different outcome.
Well, I think that the case, one of the main differences here is that you're a homeowner in what sounds like a pretty nice place.
Yeah, it's a nice place. Area,
and that's the big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Big difference, man. Big. You hit it. You hit it, Bug. It definitely is a big difference. I don't know, man. It was just a weird thing. These guys, like these tree cutters, thought that they had basically carte blanche to do anything they wanted and were going to force me off of my spot, which, by the way, Whipfix is disabled. I don't know if that makes a big difference, but when we explained that to the cop, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, you guys need access there. You know, they got to give you at least some notice. So we were all completely right. Like Whipfix and I did not want any problems. That's why we, you know, didn't tell them to get out of our spot. We just waited till they moved out, and then we moved in, and the owner of that, that's another thing he told Whipfix. The owner was like, you know, you can go ahead and call the company, but I'm the owner. So yeah. It was weird. Like, it was the worst customer service. Like, those type of people you really can't reason with. So, you know, calling the cop out there, that was about the best thing we could have possibly have done. You know, it's like we just wanted information more than anything. You know, I don't want the cops in my house. You know, I smoke weed, you know, I have weed plants, so I don't want them in there. But, you know, this ended up being a good, you know, good experience. So also on the sweeto note, I think we talked off air a little bit about this, but there's a series on Netflix called The Ranch, and it's basically the first sitcom I've ever seen where they really allow cussing and nudity. And I was like, wow, that's weird. It's on, but it makes sense. It's on Netflix and it's pretty funny. So
yeah, it is really weird hearing cursing in a sitcom. It's like you've got decades worth of precedent where that's just something that doesn't happen.
It was jarring.
You know, the ratings and standards boards or whatever.
Yeah, it was jarring, but in a good way. But you know,
I've
not
heard
a bad way.
Cussing in sitcoms before.
Really?
Like no. Have you ever heard the word fuck in a sitcom?
Yeah, right. Fuck and
like Louis C.K. had a sitcom a while before this one, a while back, where he said cunt.
Like Louis is not really a sitcom. I'm talking about the, you know, it's a very network feeling show.
Yeah, like a Friends
like
type
Louis,
thing.
Louis does not feel anything like the average. This is like hearing the cast of Friends just start cursing at random.
Yeah, Friends are like Two and a Half Men. It's more of a Two and a Half Men.
It's like you just would not hear that. And it's just like, whoa.
So I really have to see it to understand that.
Oh, dude, you got to see it. It's okay. It's pretty good, man. It's really funny. It's pretty witty. Like I like the dynamic. I think it's a pretty good series. I hope they...
I could do without the country music, though.
Yeah, I'm not a big country music fan, but it goes with kind of the theme of the show. It's, you know, it's one of those things. All right. Break. I'm interested to hear this, man.
My Sweeto. It's more of a lulls than a Sweeto.
Is it the whole hoop thing or ring thing?
No.
You didn't hear about that in Indiana? He was in the basketball capital of the world, and he called the hoop a ring. It was awesome. Yeah.
No, I didn't hear that. No, my Sweeto goes to Ted Cruz, who decided this week to announce his running mate.
Oh, my God. Who's his running mate?
Carlos
Arena. He hasn't even won the nomination yet. In fact, he's badly losing the nomination. Uh-huh. So his response is to say, "This is going to be my VP."
What? Wait, what?
Yeah, Carly Fiorina at that. A woman who's she savaged him during the early parts of the primaries when she was still running. I'm like, what? I'm going to have her as my VP. And yeah. Okay. First, no, you're not, because you're not going to win.
That's right.
And secondly, this woman hates you. Thirdly, she's even crazier than you are.
Did you guys see
she's woman, been singing?
This is the woman who pushed that Planned Parenthood video.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, man. Yeah, I remember this chick, man. I thought she was out of the national spotlight forever, man. That's – holy shit, is that insane.
Yeah, she should be so lucky. I mean, that woman is a freaking monster.
Oh, God. She's – wow.
I was really hoping he was going to drop out of the race when he was going to make that announcement.
Did you guys see
it definitely wasn't going to be he was dropping out. But
no, but the thing
like
is,
of all things to announce.
It's an extremely desperate move. He's trying to maintain relevance by like showing confidence that I know who my VP is going to be because I know I'm going to win, even though
and not
it's
just that,
very
it's,
obvious at this point he's not.
And not just that, it's because Trump is so disliked by women. It's the like, okay, look, women, I've got my VP is going to be a woman. Congratulations on choosing your VP.
Did you guys see that porn star that looks like Ted Cruz? It's a chick that looks like Ted Cruz.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that image.
And yeah, what sucks about that is they're basically taking advantage of a poor girl, for a laugh.
Yeah, but hopefully she gets some money for it.
Well, she's getting
$10,000. Like
That's nothing.
It's nothing, but maybe it's everything to her. You know,
something's going to be on the internet for people to laugh at for all times.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like when poor people win the lottery and wind up poor again, because by and large, poor people who play the lottery are not good at managing money.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to wind up just as poor as she was. She's going to wind up with nothing to show for this except a legacy of being the butt of a joke, a national joke.
You know what's funny is like you're right mostly about that, but
obviously, or else I wouldn't have
said ever made
$10,000 would make a huge difference in my life. So you can't always say that,
but it'd make a temporary difference in your life. That's not life changing money, Frank.
Right now,
it's not
a huge difference.
It would be a huge difference in you right now. But
the thing is, $10,000 is not enough to do anything substantial. It can get you a low end car. It can maybe get you a down payment on a house. It's not going to give you a long-term permanent boost to your life.
Right. Maybe it'll clear your debt out, but
yeah. I mean, that's a low amount for the average person's debt in the United States.
Yeah. Oh yeah, $10,000 is
won't even pay a kid's student loans.
Yeah. No,
not by a long shot.
I agree with mostly what you're saying, but to me,
you are mostly right. Where you disagree with me is where you're wrong.
No, I just think that you know, I mean, if you're gonna do porn, $10,000 is a big.
I mean, the best she can hope for is that it pans out into a career. But the thing is, she's not an attractive woman. She's a novelty.
Yeah,
and it's going. I don't foresee it ending well for her. I think it's very sad.
I think it is sad in a way, but man, $10,000 extra, I'll take it. She was on Maury Povich at one point, but I don't know, man. Like, it to me, it's like I just think it's funny the resemblance between that chick and Ted Cruz. Like it couldn't have been more perfect.
Or timing. Grandpa Munster, you know. I think it's just taking advantage of someone. I'm like, if she were smart. And she's probably not. She's probably undereducated. I haven't seen anything of her. I'm just speculating.
Yeah.
But she should have asked for more.
It's like, I agree with
that. Because this is going to be an indelible mark on the rest of her life. And, you know, she should have asked for more. It's like, you know, you can either give me this or fuck off.
You know, maybe she can parlay it up until they announce the nominee, which it's not obviously not going to be Ted Cruz at this point, right? I mean, I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that the
weird thing is that the GOP is they are trying to work things to make sure that Trump is denied the nomination.
Oh, I know.
Even if he wins all the primaries, they do not want him.
There's nothing they can do at this point, though. Like, if he gets
those... That's not true. They can deny him the nomination, but how?
If he wins the 1237 delegates, like, that's...
Yes, but they're not... But that doesn't... You know, this is basically a matter of... I mean, the primaries and the caucuses and everything are largely about tradition rather than law.
Ugh. What you know?
And
what
it's like? We're looking at we're going to wind up unless Hillary on the Democratic side, unless Hillary wins every single state from here on out, it's going to be a contested nomination on the Democratic side.
Really? I thought she had it wrapped up too. I thought it was going to be Hillary.
No. There's only a few hundred delegates separating them, and there's something like 2,500 total. So like if there's a discrepancy, if it's not more than like 250 when it all comes down to the wire. Then, it's a fairly wide margin where if there's this much of a difference between, or like if it's close enough, then it's considered a contested election, and then there's a whole other bunch of shit that has to be done.
I think you might be wrong about that, Mug, because when I was watching a bunch of Young Turk shit on that, they pretty much said like it's pretty much over for Bernie. Like, as soon as he lost, I think it was Pennsylvania and New York,
that's not true because he was expected to lose New York.
No, I know, but there was...
The big thing will be California. That's where he stands the best chance of winning, and that's where he stands the best chance of winning a lot of delegates.
Now, I also heard that Hillary's leading those polls by a significant... Yeah. amount. So yeah.
And that's the thing is that right now it's still too close to tell. And the media is really pushing Hillary because the media
I don't know, man. I'm looking at those Young Turk videos and they pretty much said that Pennsylvania and New York was pretty much a death knell for that campaign,
And that may be true. That very well may be true, but it's like this is going to be historical, like an historic election. You know, no matter how things play out, because you've got a GOP nomination who the GOP does not want and is actively trying to keep away from the nominee, you know, to keep away. I mean, I remember the whole thing about bringing in Mitt Romney to, you know, in his place, you know, to, and like, they're serious about that.
It's a problem they created, and they refuse to acknowledge that they created it.
I agree with that, Brake. What I heard though is that pretty much it's going to be on the Democratic side, it's going to be Hillary, and on the Republican side, if Trump does not get those 1237, then they can dispute that and do the contested deal, but. I think realistically, like, he's easily going to get that 1237. So it's like, to me, in my mind right now, it's going to be Hillary unless some sort of miracle happens and Trump.
The problem is Trump is loved by many and hated by many. Everyone, you know, everyone who doesn't have finances in her hates Hillary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, which, I mean, how many people don't have, all the people that matters, whether it's super delegates or delegates?
Well, no, I mean, the superdelegates only count as far as the primaries go. When it comes to the general election, it's all down to, it comes down to the popular vote and the Electoral College. While the Electoral College is not legally obligated to follow the popular vote, they generally do.
They generally do, but that's the problem I have with the Electoral College. It's going to be almost 50-50, like it almost always is. Like I can't remember the last election where it didn't come down almost 50-50 popular vote, but the Electoral College is what really
I can. That was Bush versus Clinton versus Perot. Perot took a lot of Bush's votes and gave it heavily to – and Clinton won by a landslide because a lot of Bush voters voted for Perot instead of Bush.
Wow. Two Republicans.
And then the same thing happened with what was it, Nader?
Yeah,
only Nader took Democratic votes.
No.
Right.
Actually, if Bernie Sanders wanted to fuck things up, he could take the votes from Hillary, like all the people that.
Well, that's the thing. You have a lot of these Bernie or Buzz types who are like, we're going to write him in. Well, you're basically throwing your vote away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you might as well be like me and just stay home.
Yeah, and that, I think it's like any election; it'll be decided by the people who actually bother to show up.
Yeah. I think
that's why Republicans win, because because the conservatives are easy to get riled up and get motivated. And that's the thing, is like, the Democrats tend to be like, they tend to appeal to idealists, and idealists are very difficult to actually get to do anything.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think the Republican part of it's going to be the more fucked up version of what's going on,
Most likely. But I mean, honestly, if it comes down to Trump versus Clinton, then Trump's going to win.
Yeah.
Think so?
All the polls say Clinton, Clinton stands no chance of winning against
Trump. I'm not sure.
Wow, because I've seen polls that say the complete opposite because of Donald Trump's appeal to women, which is none.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and trust me, I hope I'm wrong. Trump as president would be a fucking nightmare. I don't like Hillary Clinton, but I would much rather she be in office than Trump.
I think it's going to be a lot of the same either way, because Congress is going to fight tooth and nail versus both of these candidates, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot like the last 8 years where just.
Well, I think the real problem is going to be if Trump wins, we are going to – essentially we've told the entire world the United States is now a joke.
Yeah.
Our electoral process is a laughingstock, and you don't need to take us seriously.
Well, I've said that for years, but, whatever. But anyways,
In terms of just on the world stage, though, I mean, it's going to be bad for the country.
I actually think that you guys are missing something very important here. And Brake mentioned the women. That's the huge part of it. Like that's, that's a big chunk that we're
missing. Yeah. I mean, and if Hillary does get the nomination, that's where she really needs to push.
Yeah.
She has to push, she has to get the minority vote, and she has to get the women's vote.
Well, she definitely has the minority vote.
Especially. She's going to have to rile as far as like the base, she's going to have to get the young too. Like the young voters tend to vote Democratic.
Young people hate her. The millennials fucking hate Hillary. Yeah. They want Bernie, and that's that.
Yeah, well, they're not going to have much.
See, that's the thing, is she's going to have to say, well, it's either me or it's Donald Trump, and I think she's going to do that.
I am friends with some people who are very Bernie or bust, and they're like, nope, I will, I will not vote for Hillary, no matter fucking what.
I hear a lot of people saying that about Donald Trump now, but I think when it comes down to, well, do you want Hillary in office or do you want Donald Trump? The people that hate Hillary are going to say, okay, well, I'll go with Donald Trump then. And the people that hate Donald Trump are going to say, well, then she's the lesser of two evils.
Maybe.
Whereas I hate them both, so I'm going to fucking stay home because I can't believe you people are going to – I can't believe it's come to this. I really fucking can't.
Yeah, I'd rather
– this is going to be one of those things that this election will be talked about in civics classes for the next several decades.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I if there was a way for Bernie to win it, I would definitely love that.
I hope that he does.
There's still hope. Honestly, but
he will.
It's just hope.
I mean, I hope he does. I don't think he will.
Yeah, I'm calling it now. He's pretty much gotten from what I
called it years ago. That I said Hillary Clinton was going to be our next president. Is what I said.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely better than Donald Trump. I can tell you that much. But not.
I mean, the basically is like Bernie has driven Hillary far more left than she is normally. And yeah, you know, and if nothing else, he's done a good job of, you know, I don't know, shifting the conversation towards social issues that need addressing.
Yeah. I think if Bernie was probably 20 years younger, he would have had a much better shot at this whole thing. But, you know,
probably.
Whatever.
No, if Bernie would have had a better shot if he'd gotten the PAC money that Hillary did.
Well, no that's question also, about that. Sure. That's what the Young Turks are trying to do is get money out of politics with that Wolfpack thing. So, yeah,
the money does need to get the fuck out of politics. Like religion, money has no business in politics.
Absolutely. All right, Moria, real quickly on your Sweetos, dude. Like I just noticed the time. Like we're over on time.
Yeah, we're pretty over. But yeah, as I mentioned before, I'm really into Bloodborne, and I'm pretty stoked about that. But also South Carolina, people were talking. You know, word going on around about South Carolina having its own bathroom bill. And it actually got, it was actually drawn up, and Nikki Haley said, this is not necessary. You know, she's our governor. She's a very Republican governor, I should say. She's a bitch, but she's very Republican. She's like, we don't need this bill. And the South Carolina State Senate closed session without ever addressing it, which means it's dead.
I don't understand the obsession with bathrooms, to be honest with you. It's fucking ridiculous.
Like I said, it's just the cultural zeitgeist right now.
Yeah. Real quickly, Eric, did you have a Sweeto? I didn't see one on there.
I have a Lulz, though.
Okay, go for it.
This is from Destructoid.com, and you know how I was telling you about the allowing of the Steam Workshop for Sega Classic games?
Yeah.
Anyways, people have already started to put stuff up on there, and some of them are interesting, like the Gunstar's Chill Edition. There's like several Chill Editions of games, and they just basically make the game easier.
Yeah.
But and stuff like Knuckles and Sonic 1. But there's a really odd hack out there for Streets of Rage 2. It's called Streets of Rage 2, except it makes that weird Tim Allen noise when people die. You know, the ha, oh, sound? I was trying to clear my throat for that one.
It sounds awesome, to be honest. I don't know.
What so yeah, is. Whenever you kill someone, it does that sound.
That's kind of cool. All right. Well, that's cool, man.
What? Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna hold. We have a couple of things that we're gonna talk about. Cult of Difficulty, and then some stuff about Chinese Room calling out CD Projekt Red for sexist games, which is it's an interesting topic to talk about.
I personally think that's a load of horse shit.
I agree.
There's a difference between something that might appear sexist to some people and something actually being sexist and the developers doing something because they're sexist.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next week. It's going to be an interesting talk. Is anybody seeing Civil War next Friday?
I don't know if I'll be able to. I hope so. But if not, I'll see it on the weekend.
Because if I happen to see it on Friday –
I'll see it the following week.
Yeah, I might see it on Friday. I'll let you guys.
So I still have a precarious money situation to deal with.
I don't know. I'm debating whether or not
my issue is time. There are other priorities that I have, so I don't know if I can flex it or not.
There's record keeper to be played.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it.
I thought
it was
Plants vs. Zombies too.
I kind of want to see it next week on Friday, but I don't know how that's going to be possible. So we'll probably have a show next week. I'll probably see it on Saturday. We'll talk about Civil War the week after. So all you spoiler, people that don't want to be spoiled by it, we'll not talk about it next week because I don't think any of us are going to see it in time. But the week after, we're probably going to spoil the shit out of Civil War.
I do think actually that might be an instance where it's worthwhile to do a little bit of like of editing, where you like you specifically like edit together, figure out how long it is, like an insert a little thing here. This is where we talk about Civil War. Skip to this time if you don't want to hear Civil War spoilers.
I think we can easily do that by saying, look, we're talking about Civil War spoilers. Come back in about 10, 15 minutes for the live audience. And skip ahead if you're, you know.
Yeah, all that work cuts into Frank's pot time.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not all about that. Like, if you want to edit and all that, you know, it's that's not the show.
That's too much work.
It really is, man. Like, it's not cut and dry, man. Like, it's
pothead.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that next week. Let's do our plugs. Eric, let's start with you, man.
You could find my reviews at sites like BostonBashBrigade.com, TotallyGN.com, VogNetwork.com, and HonestGamers.com, and GameTactics.com. And you can find my YouTube channel, FunnyTman, and you can find me on Twitter at EricRPG.
All right. Mug, your plugs.
You can find me on Twitter as at Moriamug, MoriyaMug.
And I think that's all your plugs. That's mostly what you plug. All right, Breakman.
At RP Grinders and at Break _ Man.
That it?
Yeah, we're way past time.
All right. Shout out to everybody in chat. Wylan, Gripper, Dungeon Buster as always. Same thing with Gripper. Gripper's always in there. Welcome back, Wylan. What else? At RP Grinders, like Break said. I want to see the movie. I'm going to give Green Room a plug. I've heard good things about that movie. Also, Keanu.
I want to see Keanu. Yeah, I really want to see Keanu.
I do too. Looks really funny. It's getting really good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. So I want to see that too. Hopefully, I'll work that in sometime. But next week, we're going to have a good, spirited discussion. All right. Is there anything else, guys?
Potato.
Potato. All right.
Oh, yeah. I did get one of those potato things, like Mark suggested.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to take some adjustment just to get sure it works right on my microwave, because the third potato that I threw in, there were like three small potatoes. It didn't get completely cooked. So basically what it's doing is it's taking the microwave's heat and applying steam.
Yeah. I think the most awesome investment is a pressure cooker, like a modern pressure cooker, because that thing cooks shit fast. But all right, until next week, everybody, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Till then, we are out. Later, guys.